2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back once again to KSL Outdoors Radio. Headed into the final half hour here, and thanks for the news update on the half hour. And thanks also in the last half hour to both Cubby Jones and to Mike Seeley for checking in with us. Here's another old name.
Yeah, this is like family reunion here.
People that haven't listened in a while may not remember the name of Dave Watson, but boy, we've got some great memories of segments on the show where he was out doing crazy things, climbing mountains, and this isn't the kite skier, right?
I mean, no.
You were only the mountain climbing guy. Who's been to K2, been to Everest. Yeah. You've done a lot of things in your life, and I have followed you all this time, even though we haven't had you on the show, Dave. I've followed you on Facebook, and it seems like there are a lot of memories, pictures that are cropping up, and you keep reminiscing about these times because now you're a dad with three young kids, and your life has sort of changed a little here.
Yeah, it's very different, you know. But, I stumble across these images, and I want to share them. You know, they usually have a pretty good story to go along with them. And, if I don't share them, if I don't look at this stuff, I just kind of forget about it, you know. So it helps me jog my memory and relive those moments. But, it does seem like maybe I don't have it fully out of my system, you know?
Gee, you think? Is your wife allowing you to do any mountain climbing these days?
Yeah, I do a little bit of guiding here and there, and I own an avalanche school here on Mount Hood. So I'm out in the wilderness quite a bit, and I was going to go to Everest this past spring and work there. But that fell through. My client backed out at the last moment. So I don't know, maybe I'll go next year. We'll see. You know, I think now that the kids are getting a little bigger, they're not, tiny babies anymore. I'm starting to get a little more freedom.
I retell a lot of your stories that have influenced me. I think there's about three stories about Everest, and one in particular about K2. The story you tell about being up on the shoulder or the shelf, I don't recall exactly what you called it, when you gathered the guys around.
Yeah, the shoulder.
You gathered the guys around, you were chest deep in snow, and you said to them, if we continue, one of us will die today, and I want to raise a family.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there comes a point, where it doesn't make sense anymore. You got to back off, and that point is different for everybody, and it's just being, open to the moment, listening to what's going on around you and the people you're with, and you're just constantly reevaluating, and making sure that it seems okay to keep pushing forward.
Well,
and when it doesn't, you back off.
Yeah, and a lot of guys that find themselves in that situation wouldn't know what it's like to be a dad. But now you look into the eyes of those three little guys, and you realize what you could have missed in life by pushing forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've been very fortunate in life. I've had a lot of really amazing opportunities come my way. But nothing compares to being a parent. It is absolutely just, a privilege. And, it is, I know, the greatest thing I'll ever do with my life. It is so fun. I mean, it's really hard work.
You know,
it's brutal sometimes, you know, but it's really great.
You know, a lot of us don't get a chance to get to the top of Everest, but if we've had kids, we definitely agree with you. One of the things I was impressed with that this story when you said it's time to quit, when you get old enough to hear what you get providence, you get these feelings, you get a gut feeling, you know that you need to answer. When you're young, you ignore those things. But when you're older, you kind of realize, I need to listen. This is not a good time.
That's right.
And so you were wise enough at that time to decide we got to turn around.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those feelings, they're rare. You know, we as, you know, these domesticated animals, basically, we live in these really comfortable lives. We have lost those instincts of, you know, really tuning into the environment and into our gut feelings, you know. And, you know, a lot of us just aren't practiced in listening to, in, like, hearing those feelings, hearing those messages and those warnings. You know, so when they come around, you really got to listen to them.
That's,
you know,
excellent. That's absolutely what I believe. Yeah. And it takes an older, wiser person to try to listen. And, you know, you say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to end this right now. And you don't know why. And the beautiful thing is you will never know. Conversely, if you wouldn't have listened, you say, you know, I had a gut feeling about that and I should have listened. And so, you know, that's what you got to learn. When you're in the wilderness, you learn how to do this. And I got some stories about that, too.
Well, and it's a little easier, I think, when you're in the wilderness because you don't have all of that other sensory overload from things. That, you know, talk about being a domesticated animal, with all that's going on in your daily life, it's good to separate yourself so that you have the ability to listen to those promptings in your life. That will that will change your life when you get back home.
And you got to trust it. You know, I had a feeling like this about a year ago with my boys, and they're like, Dad, we don't understand. I go, just listen to your old man right now.
Right.
We're shutting this down. And they never knew what they missed. I know what happened.
I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah. And you know, you got to listen. And then the old dogs who are going with us, they go, Mike, if you got this feeling, I'm with you. We're down.
Yeah.
And you just got to be able to listen. And it takes some wisdom, takes some age sometimes to listen to those little providence, little inklings you hear.
Well, and not to get too far into the weeds here, but if I remember right, somebody who was going to be on that trip with you ended up having a major health crisis that would have occurred on that trip had you gone.
Wow. And they would not have pulled through. And all of my trips, as successful as they were, would have been tainted by the fact that once we had a person pass away on the trip. And when you're in the middle of the trip is more than ruined. And your memories are ruined.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a great thing that I did that. And I'm glad that people listened to me because I had that feeling and I wasn't lying.
Yeah, good for you. You mentioned, Dave, that you are still doing some guiding. That was one of the reasons I know, Rush, you wanted to reach out to him. I don't remember where you said he's...
Well, I thought he was guiding on Rainier, and maybe you did that when you first moved back up into that area, but...
Yeah, I've been guiding on Rainier. I haven't in the past few years, just because I'm, you know, with the kids all the time. So, you know, it's something I'd like to get back into. You know, I don't think I'll ever go back to K2 again. That's just kind of a different level of risk, you know.
Right.
I feel like guiding around local mountains, although they are magnificent and powerful and deserve respect, I feel like the level of risk and danger is much more manageable. You know, and I even feel that way with Everest. There is just so much support there. And, you know, there are ways to climb it safe, you know, but one of the key things, one of your key pieces of equipment is your brain, you know, it's decision making. And when things aren't feeling right, you have to react, you know, you got to turn around, whatever. And whatever that reason is, not everybody needs to understand it at the moment, but they need to respect the decisions of the guide or the leader and go along with it. And there'll be plenty of time to process it and talk about it and try to come to terms with the decisions later on when you're safe.
How old are the boys?
I've got a 7-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy and a 3-year-old boy.
All right. Sorry about that. Right. I didn't know there was a girl in the mix. Are they all?
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to guess it's probably a silly question. Are they active in the outdoors with you?
Oh, yeah. They all started skiing at 18 months.
There you go. Been there.
18 months?
Yeah, they're
Diapers are padding, Tim.
Yeah.
Insulation.
Yeah.
Well, it's great just catching up with you, Dave. And like I said, I've enjoyed following you. It's been so long since we've had a chance to chat. But, you know, people that haven't heard our conversations in the past from K2 or Everest or one of those other places now are getting a little understanding of why we love to have you on. There's always something more than just the outdoor experience. There's a life lesson in there somewhere. Yeah. And we appreciate you giving us that reminder today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We wish well to you and your family.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, guys. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Dave Watson. That's a fun conversation.
Yeah, always is.
And great to catch up with him after all this time.
I wanted to find that audio clip that said, "Hello from the top of the world."
Yeah.
I'll find it. I've got it.
I made that into a promo.
I love his sense about risk. When you're old, you get it. When you're young, you don't.
Yeah. That cut is out there somewhere. I think
I've got all the segments on it. Yeah. CD somewhere.
Speaking of experiences in the outdoors, we're going to, when we come back, talk with Krista.
Yeah, and I don't have a last name, so we'll leave it there.
But
Krista.
She had a rather harrowing experience in the High Uintas and sort of dovetails in our conversation with an 84-year-old Cordell Anderson up there right now. We'll do that to wrap up the program, so don't go away.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up the program today, earlier this morning we had Cordell Anderson on from the High Uintas, which is sort of where he hangs out. But we're always reminded, and we just had a conversation with Dave Watson about, you know, things can and do go wrong when you're in the outdoors. And sometimes it's good to hear stories of that so that you can learn from that experience. And Krista Wolf is actually on the line with us. And I don't know what your connection is exactly.
Well, do we have time to go back to the beginning?
Not too far to the beginning.
Okay. Well, just that I got a wild phone call from Clay Zimmerman, the goat whisperer from
Evanston.
Thank you. Wanting to know if I could get hold of this person that had an accident in the Uintas. And there was a mix-up. He didn't give me the right number, and I couldn't get hold of her. And besides, he told me her last name was Smith, and I didn't have that in there.
Yeah.
So we turned that down, and then I find out that that was a client of mine who had taken a sat phone.
Oh, wow.
And I found out through the goat whisperer that it was Krista.
All right.
And we have Krista with us.
Yeah, Krista's on the line with us. Krista, hi there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. This incident with you and the Uintas happened not long ago, right? A little more than a week ago.
Correct. About a week ago, we were on a 10-day goat packing trip in the High Uintas. And about 3 days into the trip, I just finished cooking lentils, and I was boiling water to drink for our water. And somehow, I was sitting on the ground by the stove, and somehow it was a really teeny camp stove that hooks onto a fuel tank, and it just slipped off. So, like, slow motion, I see this boiling water coming at me. And since I was sitting on the ground, it hit my leg, and I don't really remember much except, like, running to the creek and seeing the skin, like, coming off my leg.
Yikes. Holy
like,
cow.
Toilet paper. Yeah. It was pretty shocking. And up until that point, I had actually not told, I was with one friend and three goats. I had not told my friend I'd brought the sat phone because he thinks, like, when you go in the wilderness, don't bring a sat phone.
You've changed his mind forever on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. But I have kids and I'm a widow. So I thought I have to have a sat phone. So if my kids need me, I'm reachable. Yeah. I have to be responsible. So, skin is hanging off my leg, and I'm screaming, and it hurts, and I don't know what to do. And now I know I ruined the trip, and I seem to, like, ruin all the trips I go on somehow. luckily, I did have the sat phone call 911, and it took a while to get me to the right location because I didn't really know where I was. They didn't know where I was. They had to hook me to the correct jurisdiction. Finally, they decided they were going to send a helicopter in to get me, and we were quite near a big field, so I went over to the field and got into the helicopter and was taken to Uinta Basin Medical Center. The story's just about to get interesting, actually. That's not the burn isn't the best part.
Okay.
So I go to the, right before I leave, I tell my friend, I give him the sat phone, and I say, hey, I'm going to call you tonight. I'm going to come back in. I'm going to hike in through Spirit Lake, the trail. It was about six miles from our camp, and I'm going to meet you in the morning. So just hold tight. I'll be back because I'm pretty tough. So that was our last conversation. He said, if not, I'll call the goat guy, the goat whisperer, and I'll have him help me get the goats out. So anyway, that night I never hear from him. I leave the hospital. They wrap me up. They're like, yeah, you can go back in if you want, but you need to go to the burn center when you get back to Salt Lake. So the next morning I still had not heard from him. I did talk to the goat whisperer, and he had thought that potentially my friend was going to hike out, but I hadn't heard, and I'd made a commitment to go to the lake trail. So I, first of all, when I left the hospital, there's no Ubers. I had to get someone from the hospital to drive me to a hotel. So I knew the next morning, how am I going to get to the trailhead? I thought the trailhead was like 15 minutes away. No, it was like 4 hours from the hospital, from the hotel. Roosevelt. Yeah. Yes.
Or Roosevelt.
So I literally am crying. I can't get in touch with my friend. I have luckily I have like money. I have my credit card and a cell phone. My cell phone was dying. Nobody at the hotel had a charger. So I hitchhiked then with this burned leg all the way up to the lake. And once you get on that road to the lake, there's no cell service. My phone's dying. So my ride up to the lake, this kind old gentleman leaves me there at the lake. My friend isn't there. I'm crying. I'm a grown woman crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. Do I hike in? Is my friend still there? But if I hike in, the trail, from what I read on All Trails, is sort of glitchy, lots of Karens. But what if I get lost? Anyway.
Well, I apologize. We've got about 90 seconds. But did you finally find him?
Well, I ended up then hitchhiking back to our car. He finally called me, and then I hiked 8 miles into the camp where he was and was able to help him then out with the goats. So, it was all quite a scary story. I did go to the burn center and get my leg taken care of, and I will never ever, from now on, I'm going to cook on a fire. No more little camp stuff.
Well, that, and you're going to have a satellite phone with you, aren't you?
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Russ.
And you're going to tell him I'm not coming back. Find your way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You and the goats go wherever you
want. You're on your own, buddy.
Well,
thank you, guys.
It sort of had a happy ending, you know.
It all worked out.
There's some things that you and I can talk about how you could have done a few things different on the sat phone. Actually, I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
When we get time.
But the leg is going to be okay.
The leg is going to be okay, awesome. And I'll be back out in the trail.
All right.
There you go. She is a tough woman.
Yeah. All right, Krista. We'll look forward to seeing you next time around.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Right. Thanks for sharing your story with us and our listeners. Guys, that's going to wrap it up. Russ, if people want to get a sat phone for their next adventure.
SkyCallSatellite.com, 801-450-8317.
And you got any classes?
Yeah, we got the fall class starting, fall class, wildtrouts.com. It's my September, 5 weeks in the classroom, 3 days on the river. If you want to learn how to fly fish, this is where you go, wildtrouts.com.
All right, guys, have a great week.
All right.
We'll see you next week for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.